Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I came across a story of the Ohio School Board. Evidently, the president of the Ohio School Board resigned. This woman, Laura Kohler, I guess is her name, she's the Republican head of the Ohio State Board of Education. In her fifth term, decides that, I got to resign because ultimately she was going to be thrown out anyway, just aside, because she had the audacity to help write and then to not vote for this Resolution 20, which, as I found out, Resolution 20 is an anti-racism equality resolution that they thought that a Republican head of the Ohio School Board or Ohio Board of Education thought was okay. And they moved on, and, well, she refused to vote against. So now she was going to be ousted. She resigned, obviously, before she was ousted. I guess the GOP will truly eat their own. And this is, to me, this is another one of those moments of a party that is so far divided from we the people, so far divided from just basic sanity. And I would argue a big part of that is the fact that our elections almost in a lot of places don't matter because it's so badly gerrymandered. So the game seems rigged even before you cast the first ballot. And here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked Susan Tebben to come talk with us. Susan's a reporter over at the Ohio Capital Journal. Susan, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me again.
So, you know, I'm looking at this story of the former head of the Ohio State Board of Education. Has there been much fallout over this on the other side? I know there was a bunch of crazy, oh my God, they're going to teach critical race theory. Oh my God, they're going to brainwash my children. Oh my God. I know there was that. Anything on the other side?
Well, this actually is a pretty shortly developing story. Literally yesterday was when I heard about her going to resign. And there's actually a second person on the board that has also resigned. I talked to him. He didn't want to talk about it. And he kind of took the tack of, I've been on for 5 years, time for me to move on. And, you know, I can do my work now. But it is, there's been some outcry saying that this is the legislature trying to take over, because the way that our state school board is, some of them are appointed, some of them are elected. And if they're appointed, they're appointed by the governor. And the confirmation process, I guess, is a little murky because they can confirm these board members in any time during the General Assembly, which is a biannual thing, every 2 years. So, but they haven't really messed with that much. If they don't get confirmed, you know, the governor appointed them, we'll just move on. 2 days ago, the 27th, three people got confirmed by a Senate committee, Senate Primary and Education Committee, which everybody was like, that's weird. That's not usually, you know, we don't usually worry about this. In fact, one of the Democratic members of the committee said, we have a bunch of people that are still yet to be confirmed. Why are we confirming these three people? And the head of the committee said, that's just the names I have. So it's very interesting how this is going, and sort of some red flags are coming up for a lot of people on this. I actually just talked to a teachers union head who said she's on the fence about the state board being, whether it should be appointed or elected. And she said, because of gerrymandering, because I don't know who I'm going to get. Yeah. Because the state is gerrymandered in such a way that we could get more people who believe critical race theory is being taught in school when it's not.
Yeah, because this is the first thing that I came across. I'm going, well, she's out. She's going to be ousted. And they were going to bring in a whole slew of crazy people, because a lot of organizing money is going into taking over our school boards, because now I guess there's some billionaire money out there going, hey, you know, we can indoctrinate the next generation of kids the way we want to, instead of how we claim it's being done. And this is, to me, part of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an argument for that we're having outside groups that are coming to these board meetings, just, you know, local school board, not even the state board. Obviously, the state board's getting a lot of, you know, pushback from this. But local school boards are also seeing there's calls out for, even if you don't have a student in this district, come and have your piece and say critical race theory is happening in these schools, whether or not they know that's actually truth.
Yeah, it's crazy. And did you see that the guy down in the state representative down in Texas, who is listed 850 books that he finds objectionable, yeah. And he wants schools to report. Do you actually have these in your libraries? Are they in your classroom? And he's actually taking more requests. I'm expecting book burnings any day now.
Yeah, it kind of rings of that, doesn't it? And it's interesting. They when I talk to people on the CRT, anti-CRT side, they say they have examples all over the state of this, but I guess no one's reporting these to the actual state agencies, because I call them and they say we've had a handful of reports of this, and you know, it's not clear where those investigations go. So
yeah, I'm in a weird spot. I'm on neither side. I'm on the side of I want my kids to actually learn history.
Right.
I mean, you know, is that too much to ask for?
Right. And it's hard because you also have, and I don't know, some of them obviously will connect, but the people that want school choice and the people that think critical race theory is happening in schools, which we should point out for your readers and listeners, critical race theory is actually an advanced legal theory. It's not actually something you teach in schools. What they're really talking about is teaching race as it impacts society. And that makes some people feel uncomfortable, so they think that shouldn't be the way it is. You're having people that say school choice, private schools should be your choice, and public schools are not serving the purpose that they need to, but then they're taking the resources away from public schools that they need to build and be better than they have been before.
But we're saving it by killing it, Susan.
Right. Right. And they fail to see the statistics that say that public schools are actually doing fine. Like, they're bringing out students that know what they're talking about and can make it through the world.
Yeah. No, public schools educate, what was it, like 95% of the kids in this country? Some outrageous number like that. I think we're doing okay. I would like to do better. We could use better resources. We could have smaller class sizes. We could have a lot of things. Just seems like an idiotic fight, but it seems like one of those fights that comes when you know that you have control of a system that you can then manipulate for your benefit. And this, again, comes back to how rigged most of our elections are. I mean, we've seen the gerrymandered maps. I live in a district, the 30th senatorial district here in Pennsylvania. Looks like the kid who's usually bent over, peeing on something, only with a bad case of gas. So I live in the fart cloud of the 30th senatorial district here, because they decided that they were going to just draw this little outcropping out of the butt of that kid, and this is how it is. And we've seen really just bizarre. I mean, in Ohio, you got some of the craziest maps.
Yep. And seeing this, seeing how complicated it really is, but one of the things that I've noticed is people are really, certainly in reading the depositions that are in the lawsuits from the legislative, because we're congressional, but we're still suing for law legislative, we being the anti-gerrymandering folks, not me. I don't have the money for that. But we're seeing how hard this process is to not split up counties and split up municipalities and things. But we're also seeing on the other side, the GOP, who sees the splits they want to make and sees the splits they don't want to make. And it's sort of, we're at an impasse here where the Democrats want to see one thing and the Republicans want to see another. And we're not, some of the anti-gerrymandering people are saying, we just want you to focus on what the voters want. We don't want this infighting, all this crap that you're doing behind closed doors. We want to see you looking at the statewide averages, looking at the voters, and seeing this is where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not opposed to gerrymandering. I'm not, honestly, and hear me out. I'm not opposed to gerrymandering. If your goal is to get voter registrations in those districts as close to 50-50 as possible, so that we are then arguing about ideas and we are then trying to persuade voters one way or the other, that there is some kind of competition. But when you're in an area where, hey, let's figure out how to draw a giant fart cloud so that we can get another 5% of Republican votes over here and 5% of Democratic votes over there, so that we keep these seats uncompetitive. I got a problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Is it's anti-gerrymandering. People are saying we want this to be competitive. So I don't think you have to have gerrymandering either way. And I think there is an element of gerrymandering they want on both sides, because they want to force the issue of having their way. So I don't think you need gerrymandering to do that. I think you need how the voters are voting. It's 45 and 45% Democratic in this state, but that's not what the state house looks like. So I think if you just naturally make it not gerrymandered, you'll have that competitiveness come out. But that's, you know, just my opinion, having done this for about 2 years.
Yeah. Now the argument is and you know, I live in a very red section of this state. You know, the comment is you got Philly on one end, Pittsburgh on the other, and basically Alabama in the middle. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I've heard. In fact, James Carville, will give him credit where that is. But this is a heavily Republican area in the center of the state. This is a very rural area. They still feel the need to gerrymander this area where it's overwhelmingly a Republican area just so they can get the advantage in one more district somewhere else. It's really quite amusing to watch them jump through these hurdles to protect their incumbents and the people who have the pen.
Right. It is very interesting. The most recent map that I saw went from the top of Michigan where Ohio meets Michigan, almost all the way down the left side of the state along the Indiana border. So it's interesting seeing them all try to sort of dance around it, figure out how this would look best and how people will actually. But, you know, they've all been avoiding the actual, idea of it, which is that 70% of voters said that they wanted this process to change. And as of yet, they've missed every deadline that they've needed to get through. And they haven't really, I mean, everyone you talk to says that this process could be done differently, including members of the Redistricting Commission, who are Republicans. The Secretary of State said that it's to be determined if this process could be done better, but he's already supremely disappointed, is what he said, in how this has gone so far.
Yeah, any chance of just picking like a third grade class randomly from some grade school and go, here, your job is, your school project for this semester is to redraw Ohio maps for this decade. Congratulations, you win. And oh, by the way, at the end, a pizza party.
That would be my vote, honestly. I think we should go back to the pizza contests. We've had contests, and a couple of years ago, or 10 years ago, when we did this before, we had some kids' contests, and they came out with, and people have said that those maps were perfectly fine. Unfortunately, you get into using software and stuff, and apparently that jiggers things up.
Yeah, no, I mean, here in Pennsylvania, there was a woman in Allentown who basically drew our maps that, you know, where she drew them was for competition, to where, you know, you had the kind of balance that I would look for. Because I think the problem with our political system, and the reason that you've seen such a polarization, is we're not competing on ideas anymore, because you've got, you know, people on the right and on the left who don't fear anyone but their extreme to their right or left. And there's no ability to actually fight on those ideas where I think the mass of us are at. We just want to get stuff done. The fact that we still don't have this Build Back Better plan and the bipartisan infrastructure bill done yet is just mind-blowing to me. When everybody I talk to goes, yeah, I'd like my roads paved, please. Yeah, I want to get to the other side of that bridge. Thank you very much.
With my tires still attached.
Yeah. With my tires still intact, yes.
Yeah, it seems like it would be the simplest thing. I'm sure it's complicated to figure this out, but I feel like there's been a loss of what are we actually doing this for? And you're right, there's not only an apathy from the voters when they see this happening and they see no change in you know, they come for hours and testify and say this is wrong and nothing changes. But you also see apathy from the politicians on both sides. If they're in a safe district, why should we worry about it? I'll just sit here and let this thing burn because it's working for me.
Which is why it's insane that they're even anywhere near being in charge of this. And I say the same thing about here. You know, that old line that everyone throws out, and it's a cliche at this point, but, you know, the voters should pick the politicians, not the other way around. Yeah, duh.
It seems pretty simple, yeah.
Yeah.
And just, you know, to try to drive home how much gerrymandering impacts with prisons, with schools, with everything. And you're talking about school boards, and I'm sure there's people out there that would never have connected gerrymandering to school boards, but it affects everything that has to do with government, with policy, with everything.
Oh, I know I've got people who, you know, would argue on the gerrymandering front that every school district's gerrymandered because we got to protect our little, you know, our zip code and our, you know, from those people, you know, because we want to keep those people, and we can define those people as whatever subcategory is not currying favor at the moment, but we got to protect ourselves from those people.
Yeah, exactly. And we have two municipalities. I can't remember if they're townships or two pieces of this region that have declared themselves abortion sanctuary cities, where you can't have abortions there. And that's something that I think is connected to gerrymandering, because if they didn't have the base to do that, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because these are city councils, these are commissions that are doing these things.
And what I would probably guarantee
doesn't seem to work.
And what I would probably guarantee is there was never any abortion clinic or facility in that area that was doing them anyway. It's nothing but a political statement on their part.
And they've taken up a mission, I think is what it is. And we're seeing that. I mean, it's not even, just these small little commissions. The state legislature is doing the same thing. I've had covered two abortion bills this week.
Jesus.
That passed through. So
crazy. And now you guys have got elections coming up on Tuesday, right? There's two congressional elections that aren't, I don't think are going to, I think because of how badly things are gerrymandered, that aren't going to bother going either way. You got the 11th, which is Marsha Fudge's old district up near Cleveland, right? I think, yeah. That probably going to go the way Chantel Brown, I think her name is. Mm-hmm. And then the 15th congressional district, where the Steve Stevers resigned to become president and CEO of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure it pays better. And I hear it's got a really good dental plan.
Yeah. Steve Stevers, that was an interesting one for him to give up, because that's quite it's, I think, pretty safe Republican. But he had a lot of wherewithal there, and I'm surprised he gave it up, honestly. But yeah, as if we don't have enough going on, we've got an election to take care of as well.
Yeah, I would argue the Chamber of Commerce gig pays a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to say that, Congress people make a lot of money. I think 174 grand a year, plus health care and maybe a little pension money. But I think that gig's got to be pushing, high six figures, maybe low seven. We'll go high six.
Yeah, and definitely has some, push and pull to it that he couldn't necessarily get to with being a legislator the way he was.
Now, in looking at this, I mean, these are districts that, Fudge's district was pretty gerrymandered up, and I would argue maybe even a little bit Stivers, right?
Yeah, no, the Marsha Fudge, it came up in yesterday. There was a redistricting commission meeting, and that was brought up, saying that Chantel Brown had the, it was too safe. Because Chantel Brown basically didn't have to work for it.
That's beautiful. So. She's going to win, so it's bad. But right. Susan, I appreciate the time. Great stuff you guys do over there at the Ohio Capital Journal. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Susan Tebbin. Let's take a quick break right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
And this